Hey, what's up there, you beautiful people? Today is a great day. Welcome back to another Real You Fitness and Nutrition podcast with myself, Devin Clark. Today's subject will be on nutrition. All the information provided here is from experience and research. If I have any quotes or anything for presentation, and it is not written by myself, I will let you know who it was written by and who to search for more information on that topic. So all this information I'm going to give you is stuff that I've learned throughout my time in losing over 100 pounds, the things that I needed in my life, the foundations I needed in my life, and ways to go forward. So I wanted to share these experiences with you all and hope that you find good results within yourself. Okay, so let's go. Nutrition 101. Welcome to Nutrition 101, learning the fundamentals. We all pretty much have figured this out by now, but if not, here you go. What you eat affects your appearance, your energy, and comfort, and above all, your health. America is definitely on the wrong track. 2 out of every 3 of us are overweight or obese. Diabetes and high blood pressure are on the rise. Heart attacks, strokes, and cancer are distressingly common now. Many factors contribute to these complex problems, but the basic reasons are simple. 1. We eat too much. 2. We choose the wrong foods. 3. We simply don't get enough exercise. These are words to live by. Eat less, move more. Now, scientists know what diet is best for health. The fine print has changed and is likely to change some more. But the key facts are in. Remember this. 1. Good eating is not a punishment, but an opportunity. 2. If you know why it is important and what to do, you'll find it enjoyable and satisfying. 3. If you establish an overall pattern of healthy nutrition, you have wiggle room to savor the treats that matter most to you. And my motto is, don't cheat yourself, treat yourself. It's up to you. Be mindful of what you put into your mouth, okay? Let's get to the core of this class. Fad diets. Ugh, not another one. So what is a fad diet? A fad diet is a diet that is popular for a time, similar to fads in fitness and fashion. Fad diets usually promise rapid weight loss or overall health advantages, such as a longer life, but in many cases, the diet is characterized by highly restrictive or unusual food choices, which can cause serious health problems. I know, not the answer you were hoping for. You probably were thinking about it the way I did. But that definition is very important to know so you don't find yourself sucked in like I did. So the problem with fad diets, in my opinion, is fad diets leave you with supplements lying around that you may or may not ever use again. Spending money on things you may not finish or that you may find another diet before even committing to the first fad diet, and with no returns on the product, you're stuck with it in your cabinet, remembering that very day you purchased it. You're still shaking your head as you close the cabinet door, knowing the expiration day is still a long while off. And hey, to make yourself feel better, about your long-lost product from three fads ago, you say, I've been thinking about that product. I'm going to start using it again. Maybe Monday. 2. Fad diets are not customized for you, although they may be customizable. They are pretty generic. One fad fits all kind of thing, which is true in my experience. You have to follow the diet exactly how it was made in order to receive the desired results that they say you can have. But the results never fully come, leaving you feeling like a failure. But it wasn't and isn't your fault. 3. Fad diets are built for failure to keep you coming back. They give you just enough success to hold on to you and your money, but that's it. You will stay on the same roller coaster and you will be just switching seats. So let's get off this thing. Hands up. This is your first step to the last fad go around. The diet that will work the best for you, in my opinion, is the one you can stick to. For this reason, fad diets or programs that are very restrictive tend to only work in the very short term. Many people gain the weight back they lose, and sometimes more. Focus on the basics. Prioritize eating fresh fruits and vegetables, lean proteins, whole grains, and healthy fats, while minimizing intake of refined carbohydrates, fried foods, processed foods, and excess alcohol, meaning more than 2 drinks a day. Follow this kind of plan, especially cutting down on refined carbohydrates, because this can also have an anti-inflammatory benefit. So listen, this was me. After thousands of dollars spent trying to find the cure for my disease, I was insistent to go on my rapid weight loss adventure. There was no stopping me. These are some fad diets I have attempted in the last 5 years and their pros and cons. 1. The ketogenic diet, aka keto. This diet is very low in carbohydrates with low to adequate protein and high fat contents. This ratio of macronutrients, a subject that will be discussed in a video, forces the body to burn fat rather than carbs for energy. Even though glucose, the smallest component of carbs, is the preferred fuel for the body. In ketosis, the liver converts fats into fatty acids and ketone bodies. These are used as energy for the brain after glycogen stores are used up. Essentially, when you eliminate carbs as a source of energy, the body goes into what they call starvation mode and uses backup energy sources, aka fats, to survive. The pro, the ketogenic diet usually produces quick weight loss results, but keep in mind this may be mostly water weight. This diet can also be used to treat epilepsy, and if treating epilepsy, it is prescribed by a physician and carefully monitored by a dietitian. This is a note I took for myself if I put this in PDF form. So it says, writer's note, now I utilize the ketogenic diet for an overall reset to my body, and I only use it for 21 days max. The con of the ketogenic diet, a low-carb diet may be low in nutrients and fiber if intakes of fruits and grains are low. Also, it could be high in cholesterol and saturated fat if intakes of meat products and fat, example cheese, are high. Diets that are low in nutrients and fiber but high in fat / cholesterol may increase risk of heart disease. So the bottom line, after all of that, keto is effective for weight loss, but could be unsafe and not sustainable to follow long term. When following a ketogenic diet, it is important to focus on plant-based foods and lean sources of proteins. In the beginning of the diet, there are many symptoms. Maybe some experience them and maybe some won't, but the symptoms may include lightheadedness, dizziness, nausea, feeling tired or fatigued, and or cause headaches. They call this the keto flu, but it's not connected to the virus influenza. This diet is not recommended for children or those with diabetes that are underweight and may have eating disorders or pregnant. Next, the Whole 30. This program was created by a couple who call themselves sports nutritionists. There were no credentials or research provided that I found. The goals created by the program are to eliminate all 1 grains, 2 legumes, which are beans and lentils, 3 soy, 4 sugar, artificial and natural sugars, 5 alcohol, 6 MSGs, 7 dairy, 8 sulfates. Well, this is the chemical that is sulfur-based compound. Sulfates are preservatives and antioxidants, but for those who are sensitive to them, consuming sulfates can cause breathing difficulties and less commonly hives or other allergy-like symptoms. These reactions can range from so mild you might not even notice them to quite severe. So sulfates are the preservatives within the foods that are usually in boxes and whatnot to preserve the life of the food. 9, carrageenans. I hope I pronounced that right. It's carrageenans. This is a chemical additive used to thicken, emulsify, and preserve foods and drinks. It's a natural ingredient that comes from red seaweed, also called Irish moss. You'll often find this ingredient in nut milks, meat products, and yogurt. And to add, participants must abstain from these foods for the duration of 30 days. No treating allowed. They are very strict. So the pro to the Whole 30 is, there are health benefits to emphasizing whole foods, fruits and vegetables, while limiting processed foods, alcohol and sugar. This type of extreme food group restriction could also be helpful in identifying food allergies or intolerances. But the con, even though the emphasis is on whole foods, there are whole food groups eliminated from the diet. So the bottom line, the Whole 30 diet is very restrictive. While it encourages whole foods, hence the name, the strict guidelines make it more difficult to be followed long term while at a restaurant or at a friend's house for dinner. But the 30-day challenge may be worth the short term to break bad habits, learn to build muscle, and snacks with whole foods for a healthier lifestyle. That's what I did when I went to this place called Trinity Fitness, and they introduced me to the Whole 30, and my wife and I did it, and it was really good. She followed through with it a lot more strict. It was tough for me. It was one of those ones that it was very hard on me. So let's move into intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is an umbrella term for various eating diet plans that cycle between a period of fasting and non-fasting over a defined period. Intermittent fasting is under preliminary research to assess if it can produce weight loss comparable to long-term calorie restriction. So, intermittent fasting methods. There are several different ways of doing intermittent fasting, all of which involve splitting the day or week into eating and fasting periods. During the fasting periods, you eat either very little or nothing at all. these are the most popular methods and the ones that I have attempted or tried and or followed through with. This was my favorite one, and I still utilize this. These are the most popular. The 16-8 method, a.k.a. the Lean Gains Protocol. This is my favorite way to fast before a bodybuilding competition. It typically involves skipping breakfast and restricting your daily eating period to 8 hours, such as 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's when I do it. Then you fast for 16 hours in between, and your sleeping is included. The next method is eat, stop, eat. This involves fasting for 24 hours once or twice a week. For example, by not eating from dinner one day until dinner the next day. The third is the 5-2 diet. With these methods, you consume only 500 to 600 calories on 2 non-consecutive days of the week, but eat normally the other 5 days. By reducing your calorie intake, all of these methods should cause weight loss as long as you don't compensate by eating much more during the eating periods. The 16-8 method seems to be the most popular of the three. It's known to be the most simple, easy, and sustainable method to stick with. The pro, in theory, of this method is this way of dieting should reduce the number of overall calories you're consuming to cause weight loss without altering metabolism. And studies have found that weight loss in general may help prevent chronic diseases and much more that come along with being healthy. The con, this diet is not recommended for children or those individuals with diabetes that are underweight, with eating disorders, pregnant, with chronic illness, or disease states. During the first fasting days, there may be some symptoms of lightheadedness, dizziness, nausea, feeling tired or fatigue, and or cause headaches. The bottom line, any diet that restricts calories enough will cause weight loss. But this way of eating may be tough to follow long term and may cause temptations to binge on non-fasting days. The last fad that I will mention is the apple cider vinegar fad. This fad diet encourages eating a healthy, balanced diet, including fruits and vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, and lean proteins, with small doses of apple cider vinegar added to drinks or meals. Drink before meals and or take as a supplement. The claim is that this diet will promote weight loss, suppress appetite, cure acne, help with digestive issues, dandruff, bad odors, sore throats, and can manage blood sugar. The pro, apple cider vinegar is made from apples, can be used in cooking and cleaning, and can be purchased at the local grocery store, which made it versatile and easy to find. The vinegar is made by combining apples, bacteria, and yeast. They are fermented, producing alcohol. The byproducts contain polyphenols that are antioxidants, which have many health benefits. The con, if apple cider vinegar is used topically, the acetic acid, the main component of the vinegar, can be harsh and cause chemical burns. Drinking it can irritate the throat and erode teeth. Keep in mind, only vinegars that the mother on the label contain the bacteria and enzymes that are supposed to make it healthy, like a probiotic. Also, it may interact and interfere with supplements or medications. The bottom line, apple cider vinegar can and should be used in cooking or to make foods and salad dressings. It can be a healthy part of your diet, but drinking large amounts can be irritating too, and possibly harmful to your teeth, throat, and stomach. Weight loss and all the other claims are not supported by scientific research and is probably a byproduct of healthy eating and exercise, which can occur regardless of consuming apple cider vinegar. Also, acetic acid is found in other vinegars too. If you use apple cider vinegar as part of a healthy diet, don't go overboard. In summary, to achieve an optimal healthy weight, promote health, and prevent disease, these are the most important things to focus on. 1. Planning meals with adequate fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds, and lean proteins. Limited added sugars, sweets, sugary drinks, portion sizes, and sodium. 3. Lower your intake of saturated fats, trans fats, and heavily processed foods. If you need more education or help with making healthy food choices, I can help you design an eating plan with your personal goals and food preferences. The Real You 25. Always get approval from your physician before starting a new diet, regimen, or exercise program. So moving on to calories, the most talked about thing probably ever in weight loss history. So let's learn more about calories. What is a calorie? A calorie is a unit that is used to measure energy. The calorie you see on a food package is actually a kilocalorie, or 1,000 calories. A calorie or a kilocalorie is the amount of energy needed to raise the temperature of 1 kilogram of water 1 degree Celsius. To simplify that, a calorie is a unit of measurement, but it doesn't measure weight or length. A calorie is a unit of energy. When you hear something contains 100 calories, it's a way of describing how much energy your body could get from eating or drinking it. Protein calories are less fattening than calories from carbs and fat because protein takes up more energy to metabolize. Whole foods also require more energy to digest than processed foods. Different calorie sources can have vastly different effects on 1. Hunger, 2. Hormones, 3. Energy expenditure, and 4. The brain regions that control food intake. Counting calories. This is good things to go by. Can help with reaching specific fitness goals for athletes, bodybuilders, etc. Counting calories. While tracking calories can help newcomers learn boundaries. So if you're new to the weight loss game, you may need to count your calories at the beginning to help you set boundaries for your life to know what you can and cannot eat and how much. Creating a calorie deficit is the foundation of every diet. Lifestyle. So knowing the amount needed to lose, maintain, or gain weight is essential in some cases. Calories in, calories out. You typically burn a certain number of calories during a certain type of workout. You can increase that number to burn more calories or decrease it if you're feeling burned out or overtrained. Most calorie machines will give you a general number of calories burned, but keep in mind, that is only an estimate. And even though calories are important, calories and counting them or even being consciously aware of them all the time can be stressful on your body and your mind. So don't get crazy about counting the calories. And to be real, in many cases, simply changing the food selections can lead to the same or better results than restricting your calorie intake. Okay, moving on to nutrition and why it is important. Nutrition and why it is important. Good nutrition is an important part of leading a healthy lifestyle. Combined with physical activity, your diet can help you reach and maintain a healthy weight, reduce your risk of chronic diseases like heart disease and cancer, and promote your overall health. Having a healthy nutritional foundation takes the weight out of weight loss. Let me be real. When we focus on healthy eating, we won't have to worry about targeted weight loss. Pretty much all my clients ask, "Hey, how can I lose this belly fat?" Or, "How can I lose these hefty thighs?" Their words, not mine. Most of the weight gain or loss, unintentionally for some, we experience is from eating unhealthy more than healthy. Understanding the importance of nutrition instead of eating marketed healthy foods is the first step in long-lasting results. That's why reading labels is important for making changes. Don't let the marketing companies get you. Read the labels. Read the ingredients. Don't trust the packaging. Again, read the labels, the ingredients. These are my two major rules I follow. If you can't read it, don't eat it. Meaning if you can't understand the ingredients on the back and you don't understand those words and you need to probably be a scientist or something to know what the heck it is, don't eat it. If it's got too many ingredients, don't eat it. Lunchables are the worst. Like, just to throw that out there. Two, the longer the shelf life, the shorter your life will be. So if it can live on a shelf for a long time, that means it's highly processed, and that goes back to sulfates and stuff like that that we're putting in our bodies that we're unaware of. So you have to read the labels. Don't just trust them and know that 85% of all of our foods are packed with preservatives and high fructose corn syrup. So be careful. In my video that will be posted on YouTube and Facebook, I will talk more about reading labels and what to look for and what to avoid altogether. So the bottom line, why nutrition is important. Nutrition provides a healthy diet throughout life. It promotes healthy pregnancy outcomes. It supports normal growth in the body, development, helps with aging. It also assists in helping to consistently maintain a healthy body weight and reduces the risk of chronic disease, leading to overall health and well-being. What more can I say? So that's it on nutrition, but be sure to watch for the upcoming videos that go along with this podcast via Facebook at Real You Fitness and Nutrition and YouTube Real You Fitnut. All right. Keep it healthy. Peace.